in the teaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a treasure. We all know the worth of a treasure. We understand the value of a treasure. Therefore, we need to understand the value of the kingdom of heaven. This individual, in traveling through this field, discovered this treasure. Jesus said that thereupon he hid the treasure, sold all that he had, and bought the field so that he might acquire the treasure. The treasure presented joy to this individual. Certainly the kingdom of heaven ought to present us with joy. We should be filled with great gladness that we are a part of the kingdom of heaven. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, the evangelist Philip goes to Samaria to preach Jesus Christ. In preaching Christ, at verse 8, there was great joy in that city. The message of Christ brought to the inhabitants of Samaria great joy. The gospel of Jesus Christ should fill us with joy. The opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ should be an occasion of great joy. Later in that same 8th chapter of Acts, at verse 39, Philip has engaged the eunuch from Ethiopia. He has preached unto him Jesus Christ. This Ethiopian has requested to be baptized, and following his confession of Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God, Philip baptized him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And verse 39 of Acts 8 says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." This eunuch from Ethiopia, though he were a treasurer for the queen, found great joy in his obedience to the gospel of Christ. The message of Jesus, the truth of the sonship and deity of Christ, brought him great joy. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Even though they had received the word with great affliction, that word brought them great joy. This individual who found the treasure in the field, for joy thereof goeth. The treasure presented sacrifice. The scripture says that this man sold what he had. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, the apostle said, "Ye also as lively stones, as living stones." The church is an organism, a body that is alive and is active. The stones in the building of Christ are living stones. And Peter said, "We are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We do not offer physical sacrifices as was done under the old Mosaical system, but rather we offer spiritual sacrifices. The kingdom of heaven requires sacrifice. Matthew 16, 24 through 26, The Lord Jesus Christ, in calling disciples unto Him, explained the terms of discipleship. He informed those who would consider following Him the price that must be paid, the sacrifice that must be made, and the commitment that must be given. He said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus explains the terms of the kingdom of heaven to be that of sacrifice. One must deny himself. One must take up his cross, and one must follow Christ. One must be willing to lose his life for the sake of Christ. One must be willing to lose the world so that he can gain the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 17, 18, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with Me." The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippian church, speaks of sacrifice being of joy. We joy in that we are able to sacrifice ourselves, present ourselves as a sacrifice upon the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the kingdom of heaven. The treasure required a full commitment. The man who found the treasure sold everything that he had so that he could acquire this particular field wherein he had hidden the treasure. The kingdom of heaven is a priceless treasure and requires a full and complete total commitment. Mark 10, verse 21, a young man comes to Jesus. If we read Matthew, Mark, and Luke concerning this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that this man was young, he was rich, and he was a ruler. He comes to Christ asking the way of eternal life. The scripture says, Mark 10, 21, "Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou likest." That is a very troubling saying. Can we lack one thing in our service to Jesus? Can there be one thing that we are missing in our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross, and follow Me." Jesus required of this young man a full commitment to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven required everything that this young man had if he was going to follow Jesus and acquire eternal life. Luke 14, 26 and 27, the words of Christ are, "If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple." Jesus says that it is impossible to be a disciple of Christ if we are unwilling to make a full commitment. We must love Him above and beyond anyone or anything in this present life. He must be first in our life. We must make a full commitment unto Him. A man found a treasure in a field, hid it, acquired the field in selling all that he had. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of joy. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of sacrifice. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of full commitment. What is the treasure that we find? What grand treasure does the kingdom of heaven give to you and to me? We find in the kingdom of heaven a treasure of grace. God gives us grace. God showers us with grace. Grace is the favor of God. God favors those who are in His kingdom. God blesses those who are in His kingdom. God protects and strengthens, consoles and upholds those in His kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven, we find the grace of God. That is a treasure that is indeed priceless. Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has come from the throne of heaven, walked the footstool of men, so that we might obtain salvation. The grace of God has given unto us the opportunity to be saved, to know God, to walk with Him. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Grace is God's gift to humanity. Grace is that wonderful, priceless treasure that God has bestowed upon the family of Adam. James 4:6 tells us, "He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." There are times and situations in life when we need more grace. There are circumstances that befall us. There are pitfalls. There are conflicts. There are disappointments where you and I will need more grace. There are times when we need more grace than at other times, when we need God more and more. He giveth more grace. The Apostle Paul confessed to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The apostle declares that God's grace has allowed him, bestowed upon him the divine privilege to be a worker in His kingdom. Paul confesses that his life was what it was because of the grace of God. Paul could declare unto the Corinthian church and confess unto them that God had favored him. And therefore, because of that favor, due to that grace, he labored more abundantly. And the labor which he performed was even by the grace of God. We find in the kingdom of heaven a treasure of grace. We find a treasure of knowledge. We become learned in the kingdom of God. Knowledge is vital to an individual. We grow because of knowledge. We develop because of knowledge. In 2 Peter 3:18, Peter counsels, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The knowledge that you and I are to have in the kingdom of heaven is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to know Christ. We are to know his person. We are to know his philosophy. We are to know his attitude. We are to grow in his grace due to the knowledge that we have of him. When we learn of Christ, we are able to grow into the image of Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." We are renewed in knowledge after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lived as the old man. We conducted our life according to the lust of the flesh. We lived according to the course of the world. But we have put on the new man. That new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ. We learn that there is a different way of life. There is to be a change of perspective and a change of character. We change our mind because of knowledge, and therefore we change our life. Repentance comes to us through knowledge. We are able to grow in Christ and become as he is, and be found in the favor of God because of knowledge. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We must be filled with the knowledge of his will so that we can walk worthy of the Lord. We must have a knowledge of the will of the Lord so that we walk worthy of the Lord. We are to be fruitful in every good work because of our knowledge of Christ. We are to increase in the knowledge of God. We are to learn more and more about God, the character of God, the person of God, the excellency of God, the majesty of God. The kingdom is a treasure of promise and expectation. 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The promises of God enable us to escape from the corruption of the world. The promises of God enable us to become partakers of the divine nature. Peter says that the promises of God are exceeding great and precious. In the kingdom of heaven, there are the promises of God. God promises us great blessings. God promises us his amazing love. God promises us his blessings and his favor. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Why do we choose to live as God would have us to live rather than as the devil would have us to live? Because of the promises of God. The promises of God, says the Apostle Paul, are the motivation, the provocation for cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. We choose to become holy because of the great and precious promises. We choose to live separate from the world because of the great and precious promises of God. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. God is faithful to His promises. God is able to perform His promises. God is willing to perform His promises. God will perform His promises. God does not, cannot, will not lie. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure of promise and expectation. We live with the expectation of a greater, brighter, and more glorious future because of the treasure that has been acquired in the kingdom of heaven. There is a treasure of hope in the kingdom of heaven. We are people of hope. Hope will destroy the darkness of today. Hope will drive away the despair of our life. Hope will enlighten us, encourage us, and strengthen us. We are able to move forward because of hope. We are able to overcome because of hope. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. In the kingdom of heaven, we have good hope. We are people who live with hope. 2 Peter 1:21, who by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith, our hope, is to be in God. For hope in God cannot be destroyed. Hope in God cannot be defeated. Hope in God will triumph. Jesus Christ, says the apostle, has been raised from the dead by the glory of Almighty God, so that we might be creatures of hope and expectation. We hope. We believe. We overcome. We triumph because of hope. Hebrews 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We are able to enter into the presence of God, into the presence of Christ. We are able to go through the veil because of hope. Hope is our anchor of the soul. Hope keeps us steadfast in the faith. Hope keeps us securely clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope enables us to maintain discipleship despite the assault of evil and the temptations of Satan. We are people of hope. In the kingdom of heaven, we have found a treasure of hope, and we have found a treasure of relationships. 2 Corinthians 13:14 closes with this marvelous benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Our relationship in the kingdom of heaven is with the Almighty Trinity. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in God. We are in the Holy Ghost. We have a relationship with the divine nature of heaven because of the treasure in the kingdom of heaven. Jude 1:20-21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jude bestows upon his readers their divine relationship with God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost. What greater relationship could an individual have? The relationship with the heavenly Godhead far surpasses any human relationship that we might experience in this journey of earth. We are in a relationship with God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6:23. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk and commune with heaven. We are in a pact with heaven. A man walks through a field. Jesus says he finds a treasure. He is overcome with joy, excitement, enthusiasm. He hides that treasure, sells everything that he owns in this present world, and buys that field for this one single treasure. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, which a man finds, hides, sells everything that he has, so that he might acquire. The kingdom of heaven is the priceless treasure of the human family. We ought to be excited. We ought to be overcome with great joy. We ought to be blessed with constant devotion that we have been able to find this treasure and possess it through the grace of God. It is a treasure unlike any other treasure that one might possess. It will endure time. It will go into eternity. It is a treasure that will never lose its value, never be tarnished, unstained and unblemished. It will never need polishing. It will never need to be renewed. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure most precious. Possess it with joy, sacrifice, and commitment. For therein you find a treasure of grace, a treasure of knowledge, a treasure of promise and expectation, a treasure of hope, and a treasure of relationships. This treasure is the